Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me a very special friend, Shannon Waller. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Carrie. It's awesome to be here with you.
Well, listen, I feel like you're one of my heroes, and I mean that. I still remember the very first time I met you. You probably thought I was a weirdo, but we were in Toronto. I was brand spanking new in strategic coach, and there was this mixer.
Social get together. Yeah.
Social get together. And I had been listening to you for years because of the audiobooks and stuff like that. So I was very familiar with you, and I didn't know any other people. So I pretty much talked with you a lot of that night, and I found out that your daughter runs. I still remember. Yeah, your daughter runs, and we had a great chat, but we got to be friends. Mm-hmm. And you have two amazing books.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about those books. And here's what I would love people to share in the comments here, because we have people joining us already. We're going to talk about an edgy topic today. Mm-hmm. So one of these is Multiplication by Subtraction. And I love this subtitle: How to Gracefully Let Go of Wrong Fit Team Members. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's pretty edgy.
It is. The word graceful is fairly important to that.
yeah. Because let's face it, you know, most people are not fit for life in terms of a workplace environment. Mm-hmm.
You agree? Yeah, totally agree. I mean, we're really lucky at Strategic Coach because we have a lot of very, very, very long-term team members, 10, 15, 20. July will be my 30th year.
Wow. So you are the rare exception.
Yes, except that we have a whole environment based on unique ability. So that allows for enormous amount of freedom and opportunity and growth with team members. But most companies aren't like that. But Multiplication, by the way, you're one of my heroes too.
Thank you.
You helped multiply me, which I love, and Strategic Coach, which is super cool.
Awesome.
And I just remember you being very well dressed. First time.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You actually always were. So
you know, when you're bald, you have to compensate some way.
You've got presence. You're good.
Thank you.
But it's been a great collaboration so far. And so, but Multiplication by Subtraction, it's my second book. First one was called The Team Success Handbook, because I got actually super frustrated because I love nothing more than my passion. My passion is entrepreneurial teams. I started our Strategic Coach team programs in 1995, right? So long time, you know, it's my jam. And I got so frustrated because I would go in and often meet with entrepreneurs, and they would introduce me to one of their very senior team members, team leaders, and I would get this read from the person that they were in it for their reasons, not the company's.
Ooh.
And I remember calling it out a couple of times in this one particular situation. I won't name names because they might hear conversation subsequent. And I'm like, this guy's not on board with your future. He's here for his reasons, not yours. He goes, no. He gave me all the logical head reasons. 2 years later, he goes, Shannon, you were right. I was like, I know. So that was actually my impetus for reading the book, because I care about entrepreneurial companies, and I hate it when people try and take it sideways for their own reasons.
So you spotted it. And folks, I want you to listen, because a lot of you are building teams. Mm-hmm. We have Jill all the way from London. Wow. We have Rochelle from Scotland. We got a big international crowd here. We've got others in the UK. So here's the point. Some of you are building teams right now. Mm-hmm. Shannon's material, and I'm not just saying this because she's here, Shannon's material is so important that it's literally part of our onboarding training now. Mm-hmm. So before people come on, they go through the Team Success Series. But talk to us about this one here. I'm getting confused here. Talk to us about this one, because you're able to tell if someone's a wrong fit.
Yeah.
I suppose telling someone's a wrong fit means you know need to know what's a right fit. What page are you on?
Well, page 3435 has a checklist of how you.
Oh my gosh.
It's my favorite part of the book.
The one just jumped out at me because we hired a wrong fit person years ago because they can't keep pace. I go fast. And I had an assistant who nothing against her. She was great. But I literally like, I you know, it was tough.
Yeah. And it actually, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And there's really three ways that it can be a misfit. Call it that way. And by the way, these do not mean that people are not good people.
No, maybe I'm the bad person and I was yanking her around.
Totally. It just means they're not a right fit for you or not a right fit for your company. So this is, and I deeply care about people. So this is not about making someone wrong. It's just recognizing when it's not. And if anyone's familiar with Dr. Henry Cloud, he wrote a brilliant book, Boundaries, which I actually just ordered the other week, but he wrote another book that completely inspired me called Necessary Endings. And this is, you'll see it's the first inscription in the book. This book is actually Necessary Endings applied to entrepreneurial teamwork.
That's
what the book is. So read that book. It's a brilliant, Necessary Endings is amazing. But it talks about how to think about when you have a clue as to when someone's not a right fit. And there's really three areas. It can be a personality misfit. And that's important. And oftentimes you can actually move that person within your company. So if you have someone super introverted on the front desk.
Yeah.
Not that a lot of us during COVID have a front desk right now, but then that just kind of makes sense. So personality matters. Pace.
Pace
has a lot to do with cognitive mental horsepower, you know, and I used to think that everyone was pretty much the same. Turns out I was wrong, you know? And so if you've got a fast brain, you need someone who can keep pace with you. And actually there's a fun story. So a client that I met him kind of like, not at the social meeting, but the first workshop.
Sure.
And I'm like, and here was my expression, quite casual. I said, dude, you are wicked smart. And I was brought over because he has some team issues or lack of a team. Yeah. I'm like, you need to hire people who are at least as smart as you are. Now it took him 2.5 years to believe me.
Yeah.
I'm always hiring wicked smart people. I wouldn't normally talk quite that casually, yes. But it seemed to fit. So really appreciating if you've got a fast brain, you need other people around you with a fast brain, or you just irritate the heck out of each other.
Yeah.
So what's the point of that? Wow. And then the third one is where there is what's called a conative misfit for the role. So how their mental energy plays out, what's called their striving instincts. And this is measured by Kolbe, KOLBE.com.
Yes.
If it's a misfit for the role, like I can tell you, you know, 3,500 roles that I would be a terrible fit for based on how I naturally strive, and a few that I'm really a right fit for. And so, you know, you can have someone with all the right, great personality, great intelligence, great training, great experience who don't do the job the way that you need it done. So I'm not a very specific, detailed or systematic person. Don't have me defusing bombs and don't have me running the accounting system or trying to track accurate inventory.
Yes.
The amount of mental energy it would take for me, first of all, is exhausting. Wow. Second of all, I'm not actually convinced I would provide a really good result. And I don't want anyone blown up.
But this is so important because a lot of times IQ tests, and that's what we were used to in school. Usually people think I'm smart or I'm not. And by the way, I was not in the smart classes, and I'm not being, that's not like false humble. I was not in the smart classes, but I grew up thinking that I was not smart. But what you're saying is that we're all smart in a certain way, but we're not all the right fit in that job.
100%.
I know you have, you know, 30 years at Strategic Coach. Give us examples where someone was, don't say names, but where someone is a right fit,
right,
or someone was a wrong fit. Like, give us some background.
There's one person in our company who, this was interesting because she was a right fit for the company. She's been there as long as I have. So some of you will know that. But she had a whole bunch of administrative roles in the company, and she had a twin that worked for our company. And, And so when she heard from her twin about strategic coach and she completed the Colby profile, when we brought that in, which was a long time ago now, they end up having the same Colbys. Well, actually twins don't almost, they're twins, but they don't always have the same Colby profile. And so she just, they knew each other really well. So she answered it kind of as though she was her sister. Well, that didn't turn out to be exactly a right fit. So it wasn't that she wasn't good.
Sure.
But it wasn't, she wasn't like thriving. Anyway, eventually she redid her Colby. Mm. And Colby has a really good way of picking up when there's a bit of a misfit.
Yes.
Or it's in transition, it's called. Anyway, and that turned out she was a much longer, what's called quick start. Anyway, now she is like a rock star salesperson and a brilliant speaker. And thank goodness we had a way to kind of reorient, because her backstage doing admin stuff just wasn't, it was okay.
But that's so freeing though. Imagine what you did for that woman, because a lot of us probably think I'm the problem. It's my fault. I'm a bad employee. And what you're saying is you're a different employee. Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes you've got someone with incredible relationship skills, but not in a relationship skill. Well, not in a position that uses their relationship skills.
Oh, so they're being underutilized.
Yeah. And they're dying. They're dying because they're so far backstage. Maybe they're handling the numbers. Maybe who knows what role they're in, but they don't actually get to interact with other people. Other people are the total opposite. You know, they're in a relationship role and they really have no business. They have no mental or emotional energy for that. It doesn't work so well either. But the wrong fit story. So there's kind of the right,
The
wrong fit story was fascinating. It's actually what was my clue about the cognitive and how important that is. So this is someone who had the right experience, right? Who had the perfect Colby for the role, met on the personality measures. But after, well, I'm not sure when the cracks started to show. With Colby, it's usually around 3 months, but this took longer. It's about a year. So, well, it just started to not work.
Yes.
Well, if you know that the personality is correct and the striving instincts are right, but the person's still A, they're frustrated, or B, or and frustrating to work with, there's only one thing left. So if you, you know, and that's the upstairs part, you know, the mental horsepower. And it was, and then I'm like, oh, maybe everyone isn't really. And they were, by the way, supporting, you know, two of the smartest people in our company.
Yeah.
So that was my clue that cognitive mattered more than I had been giving it. So we do profiles before we hire anyone. Mm. And we measure for cognitive, which I always relate to the gut. This is how you know, your instinct is to strive, your heart, so your personality, your preferences, but then also head. So we use Colby, we use DISC, and we use StrengthsFinder after they're hired, DISC before, StrengthsFinder after. And then finally we added Wunderlich before they're hired. And Wunderlich was Kathy Colby's father, which is kind of interesting for psychometric testing. And so they have a good paper and pencil instrument that is inexpensive and fast, and that measures kind of mental horsepower.
Wow.
So we added those things in once we realized it mattered more than we thought.
And we need all kinds.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
I mean, you don't, that right? That's what makes a good team. Not saying, I think to the, you know, football illustration here, you don't want a team of 11 quarterbacks. It's going to be a horrible team. And even in football, you have different body sizes based upon the position. So what you're saying is that, I know this to be true to you about you. You have major self-awareness, and I mean that in a great way. And I think I do too. I didn't always, but why is it so important that a leader is self-aware?
It's one of the most important things ever. If you're self-aware, you know your strengths. You also know your non-strengths. I don't find the word weakness is particularly interesting. But the cards you've been dealt, and you can play your best hand, if that makes sense. It also, though, if you have self-awareness, if you have awareness of yourself, you know, where you thrive and succeed and where you don't, then you can be much more intentional about how you place yourself. And I always like to say, please use your powers for good.
Yes.
Like talking to people with all the profiles, because you can tell I like them. But then also it makes you much more sensitive and aware of other people. If you think you and everyone else are the same, you're not looking for uniqueness. You're not looking for how someone's special. You're not looking for someone's unique contribution. So self-awareness actually creates other awareness. And with that, you can build an incredible, what we call a unique ability team. But if you're clueless about yourself, first of all, you're beating yourself up for where you think you should be better. And you're not going to be playing to your strengths, which is frankly what your team wants you to do. They don't want you making a mess here and over here. They want you doing what you're supposed to be. That actually is what gives them confidence and security. So
this is so good. And you know, Patricia basically is saying that she says just straight up, I love this. I'm not going to share names here because we're all protecting confidentiality here, but I will say that at one point in my life, I worked for someone who was not self-aware. The entire team tried to help this leader understand that they weren't good at the traditional role that society says they needed to do. Yeah. And rather than that person be like open to it, I feel like they tried to pretend to themselves. They weren't fooling any of us, but they pretended to be good at that role. How devastating is that for a team?
It's horrid for everyone involved. But there's so much pressure, especially if you were in any kind of a traditional corporate or bureaucratic environment. I'm sorry, there is no reward for saying, guys, I'm really not very good at this part.
Yeah.
You're going to be lambasted. You're going to be criticized. You better keep that under wraps.
So like an example, a CEO who maybe is horrible at speaking, but they think I'm the one who has to present and therefore it's painful for everybody.
Oh, it's the king's speech. it's that awkward for everyone, you know, when clearly that person wants no business being up there. But that person might be a brilliant strategist or someone who's great at building, you know, some like one-on-one or strategic relationships on a much more personal level. And now public speaking is one of those things that people say almost everyone has to get decent at. But is it worth the days and weeks of mental energy?
Yeah.
To do that? You know, I would suggest a team presentation where the person's up for a minute, says, hi guys, I'm here, I exist, I'm, you know, and let me bring in my team.
Yes, I've empowered Shannon to speak today. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that there are strategies around that, still letting people know that you're alive and well and there. But I don't think, I don't know, is how you use your mental energy, I think, is incredibly important, and emotional energy and all the other types. So people using it strategically is far more important to me than anything else.
One aha, because I'm always learning things, and I know you are too. One aha for me lately was I don't enjoy, nor do I think I'm good at leading our team meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So like, I don't mind leading a meeting for a client or prospective client, because then I kind of know the agenda and this type of thing. But I can be the worst. In fact, someone calls it squirreling. Okay. Like we have somebody whose job on our team is the squirrel wrangler. Amanda is her name. She might be watching this.
Is there a little lasso? You know, I want to know if there's a little stick with a little.
It's a spike with a bat. They hit me now. But I've now walked into meetings in such a refreshing way and saying, all right, who's leading this meeting? It's not me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm able to be more present. Do you have anything that you've learned about yourself in the last 12 months that you've kind of said, you know what, I need to either give that up or I'm really good at that and I didn't know that?
One of the things that's been that I am passionate about is and it is one of my unique abilities, 10 best habits statements. I know you know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
Is what is really important to me is helping to create, build, reinforce community.
Yeah.
So one of the things I love doing, just a work detail, but so we've got people who register for the strategic coach program, but who may not start, could be 12 hours, in which case they're fine, or it could be 6 to 10 weeks, you know, before they actually get started. Well, it's easy to go, oh my gosh, what have I done? Or just lose momentum or lose focus. I mean, we send some stuff, but You know, so we started, came up with the idea. I don't think it was my idea, actually. Someone else did it. But I get volunteered for a few things because I don't need a lot of preparation to do certain activities per my Quilby. And so I did the first one and I loved it. It was so, so fun. And I love bringing people into the fold and I love introducing them to how we coach.
Interesting.
To meet one another. And I'm good at getting everyone engaged. And so that's
so like an onboarding for new people. Interesting.
Yeah. So then we expanded from one that we kept repeating to now we have three, presuming someone's, you know, they could do three different ones if they've got 3 months in between before there's any repetition. So just, I mean, I just,
that's cool.
Reminded how much I love doing that. I've known for a long time how, sorry, swear words come to mind that are not appropriate. How crappy at anything to do with scheduling.
I am
brilliant at following a schedule. I'm doing what I'm told. Creating one doesn't happen.
No.
I can do one back and forth and that's it. And then I'm done.
But it weakens you.
Oh,
which is what a weakness is. It weakens you.
Yeah.
And probably everyone around you is frustrated. They're just like, just give me it. Just let me do it for you.
Well, hopefully you've got people like that, but they're like, how come this isn't done yet? How come this isn't done yet? You're behind on this. And I'd be working until 11:30 every night. Now I have a brilliant strategic support partner. Who's my compliment.
Nicole.
Yep.
Nicole, yes.
Who arranged this today, by the way.
Yes.
Who's in my compliment in terms of her Colby profile, in terms of her personality, very highly intelligent, probably much smarter than I am. And it works brilliantly. She stays in her lane. I stay in my lane and we are brilliant partners together. We met this morning and she goes, here's your day. Here's your week.
Yes.
And later on, she'll help me get on and figure out the urgent emails. So I need handholding over there. I don't need handholding to talk to 200 or 2000 people.
Right.
Right. But with schedule or email, I need handholding.
But I'll tell you what that takes. It takes humility. And I feel like there's a lot of leaders. When I first started, I certainly would think, oh, I'm above that. I don't need, in fact, I probably did think that person, they can't schedule, they can't check their email. And you know, I should be able to do all that. Why is that like the biggest lie? Why are some people watching this right now and they're actually being prevented from higher levels of success because our buddy Dan wrote a book, Who Not How?
Yep.
And they're trying to be the who. Oh yeah, they're trying to be the who. Tell us that. Like, why does it take humility?
Well, it takes two things. It takes that self-awareness. Know thyself. Wisest words pretty much ever spoken, in my opinion. And so if that means you know where you're the who. Mm-hmm. So the whole book is Who Not How. Well, you know, where if you're in one, two, maybe three different types of activities or endeavors, you are the right person. You have the unique ability. Mm-hmm. In everything else, start looking for the other who's.
Yes.
You know, because if it's not your how, it's going to take you forever. You go to the bottom of the learning curve and it's a steep, long climb.
Yes.
You can short circuit the goal achievement process if you simply tap into the right who's. So it takes two things. It's humility and confidence. It's confidence about where you make your biggest and best contribution, which would be that narrow, center of things. Please be confident in those things. Do not be wimpy.
Don't delegate your strengths. He says that. You say that.
Or do not delegate your unique ability.
Yeah, that's it.
I had a client do that once. That was, I'm like, did you delegate? He said, Shannon, I delegated everything just like you said. I'm like, but he said, my results are terrible. I'm like, you didn't delegate sales, did you? He goes, yeah. I'm like, that's your unique ability.
Wow.
I'm like, he's like, oh, oops. And then next quarter he was back to normal.
Yeah,
and
I was like, I love
dude,
that.
Do not delegate your unique ability. So you need confidence where you are best placed. Like you have to know.
Yes.
You know, if you've got some gifts, you know, that's what is yours to contribute. Wow. Please be very confident in those and then be very, very humble about everything else. So I'm sure some people are like, oh my gosh, you can't handle email. I'm sure some people are thinking that right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. And I have zero embarrassment about that. I have no ego about it.
Yes.
You know, it's actually not, it's interesting. It's not ego. Being confident about your unique ability is not ego. And being humble about those things, it bypasses ego. So where I see people getting trapped, kind of to your point earlier, is where they think they should. And the word could, would, or should is related to one of our concepts that Dan calls the gap. So that's when you're measuring yourself against an ideal. It's actually not yours. It's not related to actually who you are. It's some externally imposed expectation that is not reflective of who's actually in your chair. So when you start to really embrace and accept and take responsibility for how you are very uniquely put together, every one of us is unique fingerprints like snowflakes, you know, then you can start to go, oh, this is where my best contribution is. This is my worst. You know, so I need support in the areas where I need help. And then I just can be really confident in the areas and stay in my lane, you know, where I can make a unique contribution.
Look at the comments. Elise just says, this is so good. Susan says, don't should on yourself. Right.
My mom used to have a button that had should with a line through it.
There you go.
The red line. Don't should on me.
There you go. That is so true.
Yeah.
Michelle from Montreal says, do not delegate your unique ability. Listen, the world's going to bump up against this, though, this concept.
100%.
In fact, I got to share this with you because in 33 minutes, someone's going to come to my door, one of my who's, and they're going to deliver mail from my P.O. box. Mm-hmm. And just someone the other day said to me, and I won't say who this was, but they said, wow, you really think you're big stuff. You have your own person who delivers mail now to you, hey? And here's the problem. It's not just getting the mail. Mm-hmm. It's once the mail's open, then it's this bill, this invoice, this check, this card, this book delivered. There's like 50 tasks that, oh, I'm just going to the mailbox, but now I have to do all these things. And then what happens is, yeah, my unique ability gets sucked down and now I hate my life again. Right?
It's true. Well, and it's funny that delivering the mail, well, most people have a mailman. So most of us have a who to do that.
There you go.
So I would knock that one back a smidge. Yes. But it's true. I have a friend who said, he said, I can write a brilliant letter. Can I fold it up and put it in an envelope and get the correct address and put a stamp on it and get it in the mailbox in a timely way? He goes, no.
Wow.
You know, so it's like, that's where we need help.
Yeah.
You know, processing all the mail, it's not a small thing.
No. And like you say, doing those things that I could do, not only am I frustrated while I'm doing it, because I'm like, oh, I really wish I could do what I love to do, but it takes my energy. Now let's talk about Rochelle, because we've been here. I've been here. Mm-hmm. You started out, I'm guessing, as a solopreneur. I did certainly for years. This is the little lie. And you share that story so wonderful about your first hire.
Yeah.
And how quick did you know? And how quick were you saying the next thing? Tell us that story.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you just made me think about that. Great comment, Rochelle. Thank you. I used to work with another salesperson at Strategic Coach. And this is I was doing my excellent but not unique ability.
Okay.
And so I used to share a part-time person. So I had like a quarter of a human. Let's be clear. And so my colleague Susan wanted to hire her own part-time person. So she said, oh, can you take over this person? Her name is Anon, brilliant woman, by the way. And she goes, can you take her over by yourself? And don't forget, I was only accepting to take on a part-time person. It wasn't even a whole full-time person, right? And I was like, oh my God. And I think I thought about it for 7-10 days.
Wow.
I was stressed. It was like one of those wake up at 2 a.m. Can I afford this? Do I have enough work? What if it doesn't work out? I'm responsible now for this person's livelihood, you know, at least part-time livelihood. So finally I screwed up my courage, and this is, you know, make a commitment, courage kicks in. And I said, yes. And then 3 weeks later, after I had a non to myself part-time, I said, how soon can you go full-time?
Wow.
The leverage she provided was phenomenal.
Wow. In other words, your fear of income, because you were able to focus on what you're good at, your unique ability, she allowed you to generate so much more income that you're like, what am I thinking?
Totally. And that's the really cool thing. When you have the right person, the right fit person, and that has to do with mindset, it has to do with capability, it has to do with a lot of things. Unfortunately, it's not just a single answer. There's usually at least three. But when you have that right person who's smart, who's committed, and who's got the right talents for the role, bottom line, so, then like the leverage that comes out, you're like, oh my gosh, I can make so much more money.
Yes.
And to your point earlier, like the world doesn't necessarily reinforce this. It's true, except unless you are your own person, unless you're your own business, and or at least you have carved out your own. My husband was able to do this at Bell Canada, which is the largest telecommunications company in Canada, and massive company. But they actually had their business units had a fair bit of autonomy, so he was really good at this. And so some big companies, there's some structure. But if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a sole proprietor, you've got room. And like me, you don't have to start off with 8 full-time people.
No.
You know, there's some very easy, fast, efficient, cheap, inexpensive ways to do that.
Yes. And,
but it means finding being picky about the right talent.
That's so good. I just hired a 17-year-old the other day.
Great.
To do some tribe community Facebook management and TikTok, because
TikTok, seriously? Oh, yeah. I love this story.
I'm on TikTok now. I'm on TikTok, but it's not me.
Are you dancing, Carrie? I need to know this.
Not yet, but I will tell you what. This is my TikTok, and it's blowing up, and I'm not on it.
Oh my gosh, I love that story.
And why? Because her name's Kiara and she's good. And I don't want to learn another platform. And here's what she does though. Here's what she said. She said, Carrie, I need you to film on your phone, throw a book up like that, go like that, and then go like that. I'm like, I can do that. That's what I did. And then she turned it all into a video.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Is that cool? I'll show you the finished product.
And by the way, I need to get you on my TikTok because I mostly use it to, it's very entertaining, by the way. If you want to waste some time in a good way, watch TikTok.
There you go.
But it's hiring younger people to do like the social media and the stuff that they get.
Yeah.
They're
going to do it better. They're going to be faster. They have hair. They're going to look better for me. Right? Right? Yeah. I mean, so let's give away a copy of your book. Okay. So we have people jumping in all over the place. Who wants Multiplication by Subtraction, a very edgy, good book? Who wants a copy? We're going to mail it to them. And do you want to say something? Looks like you're going to say something.
The cool thing is, so it goes on page 34, 35 is a list of symptoms and then the results and cost. And I had some fun writing it. So I think the word zombie comes up in here.
I love it. It's so good.
For someone who's quit and stayed. And then it goes through the scenarios. So, you know, there's level of difficulty. Like a one is someone you've just hired, they're on probation and it's not working out. And you're like, okay, it's just, you know, end of 3 months by, no big cost.
Yes.
And then there's, you know, the 6 out of 5 is where you've got a legacy team member who's stopped growing, who is just used to being there, and they're
filling the space,
and their family, or they feel like family, and you're like, and that's a 6 out of 5.
Right? Yes,
I need to add a different category. So we go through all the different scenarios, and then at the very end, it shows you how to do it. In the fact, well, one of my clients did this to me. He said, Shannon, I read your book. He said, if I realized that it was only going to take 15 minutes, I would have done this a lot sooner.
Oh man.
Now,
well, you do.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I mean, just like you were saying about you got the wrong person.
Yep.
Wow, this is so good. We have look at this here. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So just keep track. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, it just keeps going. So a lot of people want this book. I'm going to mail a copy. Michelle, you pick someone. Tell us where else this book is available.
It's available on Amazon.
Yes.
And you helped format it properly, so it's super easy to get. And also, we wanted to make it super accessible. I mean, this is a book for owners and leaders, really.
Yes.
Although I do know some people who've actually put it on people's desks whose behavior was a little questionable.
Ooh.
And the person was like, "Oh my gosh, you know, are you trying to tell me something?" Like, "Oh no, just wanted you to read it." And the person shaped up like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. There actually is a right fit team member scorecard in the back. Yes. So there's, and then Team Success Handbook is how to have an entrepreneurial attitude, which is also a right fit team member. So
lots of goodies. Folks, I mean, we're talking, come on now, $199 in the US.
It's cheap.
Audiobook, paperback. I mean, it's available everywhere. Yeah. Folks, you got to check this out. Yes. And we did have the opportunity to re-release this, and we are just so happy for you. So do yourself a favor, do your team a favor, get a copy of this. Let's go now to the Team Success Handbook. Mm. Give us some gold about this.
Ooh. Well, this is my first book. It was actually also the easiest, which is not usually the case.
Yes. I love this chart. Tell us about
most
companies. Yes.
Okay. The rest of the book took me the same amount of time as it took me to write the introduction.
Yes.
Because I have been coaching the 12 entrepreneurial attitudes. So I'll describe how the book came about. So yeah. I had been creating the Strategic Coach Team program since 1995. Mm-hmm. And I was coaching people on unique ability and our entrepreneurial time system. And it was sinking in about this far. And I got so frustrated. I'm like, what is wrong? Why is this not getting across to team members? And then finally, I realized some of them didn't have what we called at our company an entrepreneurial attitude.
Okay.
No entitlement attitude is the other part. So I went around and I, with a team, it wasn't only me doing this. And so, okay, what makes really successful team members here at Strategic Coach? And then what makes for some of our clients' team members be really successful? And I came up with, or we came up with 12 different entrepreneurial attitudes.
So good.
I had made that into an exercise. And by the time I wrote this book, I've been coaching that exercise for over 12 years. Wow. So all I had to do was write down what I said in the workshops. So that was actually super easy. I had to add a little bit, obviously, because some of them I would focus on others. But then I had to set the context. And the context is there's a massive difference between an entrepreneurial and a bureaucratic or corporate organization. And really getting clear on that. And by the way, am I happy that bureaucracies exist? Well, for a long time, I didn't think there was, I was, but you know, I kind of want our electrical system to work without me thinking about it.
Oh, that's good.
I want water when I turn on the tap, like, you know, and I'm in Toronto, not Texas right now, but that's, I don't, you know, you don't want here, have to need heroes every day.
Interesting. Right? So there are structures, systems that you want to be bureaucratic because it just works. It's dependable.
It's not actually dependent upon the unique abilities of the people in it. Now, am I the person best suited to work in that structure? Absolutely not. So I need to find the opposite. However, there are some people for whom that's the right thing, and I'm bless them. You know, I'm very, real appreciative for
playing. Yes.
Right. So there's that. But then here's the deal though. You have someone in entrepreneurial it comes from a bureaucratic company to go to work for an entrepreneurial one. And they're like, okay, the language of business is the same, but the meaning is completely different.
Ooh, so, you got an example?
Well, it's
like get this done or something, right?
Yeah. Get this done. So in a bureaucratic organization means follow this, you know, 12-page policy and procedure manual. But in an entrepreneurial company means go figure it out.
Yes.
With what? With whatever you can figure out, right? Like be resourceful. So someone who needs the policy and procedure manual is completely like, oh God. And someone else who has trouble following the policy and procedure manual is quite happy on the entrepreneurial side.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And this is where we saw some rubs in our company early on. Because we would be like that. I think on your chart, you say certainty versus ambiguity.
Yes.
Right? So talk about that because, yeah, we would ask this person, can you go create this PDF? And right. They'd be like, what size? What colors? And what, you know, and just like over the top. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't care. You know, just go.
Yeah, exactly. Right? There's a thing about being able to pick up enough clues from the environment to be able to go, oh, okay, well, you know, I remember so-and-so's got some PDFs on their computer that seem to work really well with clients. I'll kind of model it off that, or this is what I think is super cool. I'll give Carrie a couple of different options, but it'll be, you know, I'll put all the content in so he'll just go yes, and then we can just hit send on that one.
Right? Interesting. So that took intuition. It's a creativity, vision, but not everyone runs like that. And that's not a bad person.
No.
It's just that what they're not going to be a, maybe a good fit in a certain role.
Well, with entrepreneurial companies, there often isn't a ton of history. There isn't a right way. There's been a couple of different ways that work to a greater or lesser degree. Some, occasionally you find out what not to do. Please don't duplicate that. But often there's so, it hasn't been done yet. So there isn't a right way.
Wow.
Because you don't know whether or not there's a right or wrong way until you've done it. Right. So that's the ambiguity for a lot of people, is it's brand spanking new. So if you love to be create the brand new, you know, and have a vision. And what I know is that where people have, you know, I'm going to say unique ability in areas I don't, they have far more ideas about something than I do. Mm. I'm often quite capable of delivering something because I value of long-term experience. But when someone else has more creativity for it, I'm like, it's yours, right? It's just, that's my clue.
Yes.
That someone has more to bring to it than I do, despite my years of experience. So it's pretty key.
Well, it's like when I started working with Dan and Babs, they brought me in to do books and marketing and stuff. And I was amazed at how they trusted me. Mm-hmm. That's a unique thing. Like, in other words, I was used to saying, okay, we can do this or this, which do you want to do? And they kind of had the approach like, mm-hmm. we hired you, you're the expert, just tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, again, humility, confidence. I mean, this is the theme today. Why does a company work like that where they bring in the expert and listen to the expert? That's so rare.
And they do that personally too. So they, you know, two cases now, bought two separate cottages. They sold one, bought another one. And both times it was like, you know, they agreed on, like, Dan's like, I want it white on the inside. Okay. And then they didn't come back until it was done.
Wow.
And the designers were like, really? You trust us to that degree?
That is so rare.
Never. Everyone's up there every weekend looking at their thing. And
yeah.
In Ontario, a cottage is a cabin on a lake, if anyone needs
that's
to know
right.
that. But it was like they'd never been given that degree of trust before. And they've done that in with everyone I know that's worked for them, both on a personal and professional basis. But they have this, you know, they're so self-aware, to go back to that, about their own unique abilities and their own capabilities. You know, a couple conversations to set the intention or some key preferences, and then have at it. So they gave me no coaching. Dan actually helped me design the first three, episodes, the first three workshops but the way Dan's brain links together concepts isn't my way.
Right.
And I hadn't coached or designed before.
Okay.
I'd taken a school course. That's how the idea came up for the team programs. And finally, I'm like, I don't like Dan's designs. That's when I became a program designer.
That's so good.
What the heck did I know? But I knew my audience. I knew what I wanted to convey. And then that's what happened. So you just, you know, they've really never told me. They've never watched me coach a team program. And that was 26 years ago, 25 and a half years ago. So it's amazing when you just trust in people, give them room to grow. I mean, and let them make their own mistakes is part of it. But, you know, the team programs are not anything that Dan or Babs ever would have created, ever. They're so clear that's not their audience. That's not their jam. Do they like having it as part of coach? Yes.
Yes. But,
you know, I just had a lot of freedom to create what I thought was useful because we were aligned and I was clearly bought into the intention of the company. It worked.
Shannon, you are amazing. I just got to talk for a few minutes about you. Okay. So get ready here. One thing is you're on Instagram.
Yes.
So Michelle is taking notes here. Pop in her handle on, what is it? Shan?
It's Shan Waller.
Shan Waller.
Yeah.
At Shan Waller on Instagram. Folks, I'm telling you, she's one of these people you have to listen to. Where else are you?
Facebook. On Facebook is Shannon Waller, so that's easy to find me there. If you want, where else to find
you? Have a podcast.
Oh, that's If you want more mainline content, because Facebook, you'll probably see my family too. but in case you want to, but I do like to repost useful things.
Oh yeah,
so that could be good. But the other place, yourteamsuccess.com is the website where you can get team resources. You can get actually the book that inspired what the exercise is based on for the team success handbook, plus Communication Builder, Open File Syndrome, Positive Focus, some cool, fun downloads, plus the Entrepreneurial Attitude exercise, which is great to do with your team. You could do it on yourself, although I hope as an entrepreneur, you'd score yourself high. Just say
yes.
But it's also great to hand to people as you're hiring them to say, just to let you know, this is what we're expecting. So if this doesn't sound like you, probably not the right home for you. Or give them the book. It's designed to be cheap on purpose. You can buy
that. Yes.
So yourteamsuccess.com. And then I have a podcast, Team Success. So, which I love to just share current issues and thoughts that are coming up. And it could range. I have a broad, I love to read. I also love doing author interviews. Love doing author interviews.
I enjoy being on it. Absolutely. Yep.
So I love curating resources that are incredibly useful and helpful towards successful entrepreneurial teamwork of all kinds. It could range from personal productivity to incentive plans to, you know, Cy Wakeman's No Ego, you name it. It's all on there.
That's one you recommended for me recently. Definitely.
Unbelievably brilliant. One of my favorite people. So yeah, so lots of great resources of things that I find interesting and useful and cool and relevant. So that's the best place to track me down.
And Shannon was a major door opener. I think I told you like after that first session, I said, man, I can help Dan out. I know I can. And you and I kind of conspired together to make that happen. And I'm forever grateful.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for that.
And you've helped me too. So thank you.
Well, and I stay when Toronto's open. I stay another day just because Shannon is such a great facilitator. You have this gift for drawing out. In fact, you say, who wants to volunteer or be voluntold, right? Like you just have all these, I don't know, like it's almost a playbook on how to run meetings. Have you ever written something on that?
No, I've written an impact filter on how to interview.
Yes, you have. Have that.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, because I interviewed Dan for our Inside Strategic Coach podcast, which is really fun. I'm like, someone asked, how do you do that? I'm like, how do I do that? And then I figured it out.
It was so
but no, I've not done that. It's a function of coaching for 26 years. So
right.
But yes, that would be a very good idea. Maybe I'll do an impact.
That would be good. Anything else you want to say to the crowd? I mean, everyone's walking away with, you shared at the conference last year, Igniting Souls. Everybody loved you there. Anything you want to share in conclusion today?
No, just I want your team to have an entrepreneurial attitude so they can get you. I wrote this book so that you wouldn't have to actually. I hopefully explain entrepreneurs to team members so they can actually get you. This is about how to know when you have a wrong fit person on and then what to do about it. It's not always firing them, but it is a matter of placing them or exiting them if they do not share the same core values. And Carrie, I've really loved the fact that you brought up the whole point about know thyself. Thank you. Because if we can all do that, I think we'll be happier. We'll create much happier environments and frankly, much more profitable and productive ones. Which is what part of my mission in the world is. So thank you for bringing out that super important point.
That was so good today. Last thing I'll say, I'm walking away with a whole bunch of lessons. One of them though, is that I actually am attracted to someone who knows themselves.
Yeah.
Meaning that when I'm seeing if I should work with someone, client, service provider, if they say, you know what? That communication style does not work. I just know that I'm not good at that style.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for, you know, like rather than, oh yeah, I'll try Basecamp. Sure. No. I'd rather know that someone is self-aware.
Well, I think we're really attracted to authenticity. It's hard to be authentic if you don't know who's sitting in your chair.
Ooh, thought of the day right there. We're attracted to authenticity. And we can't be drawn to someone who doesn't know themselves. That's so good.
Yeah. There's one quote that I'll end with. And it was one of our clients said it about Colby, but I think it applies to what we're talking about. And his name is Peter. And he said, before I knew about Colby, but you could put any other profile in there or unique ability. He said, I thought everyone was just like me, only not as good.
Ooh.
Which still makes me laugh 15 years later.
Yes.
But it's so true. Unless you're aware, you tend to have this, I'm great.
Like, I'm the style. I'm the standard.
Yes. It's the right way. And your way is bad. And it's not true. So your way is right for you. Their way is right for them. And so you don't, you're actually, you've got blinders on if you don't embrace a wider perspective.
I'm walking away with that fierce humility, fierce confidence. It's wow. This was great, folks. Listen, go ahead, type in thanks for Shannon. If you found it helpful, get her two books. These are amazing. I love that they're on audio too, both of them.
Yes, and they're super practical. I don't write things that, I mean, I write in a direct, caring, and practical way. It's all I'm for. Don't ask me to write a long book. It's not going to happen.
That's okay.
So if you like, you know, clarity, that's what they're there for.
Awesome. All right, folks, we'll see you later. And the thank yous are coming.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Awesome. Always awesome spending time with you.
You too.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.